51 punch? I believe this is episode 51 of Case in Point, and I probably should have checked. But welcome anyway, and...
It's 50-something.
I'm going to step away from the microphone, or should say the cam, because my voice tends to distort because I have a big, loud mouth. It distorts in the mic, so I'm going to take a step back, because I know in past episodes it gets kind of scrambled, so if I sound a little distant, it's because I'm sitting a little further back, folks. But I want to do this episode today because we are so delinquent, and for all the reasons that we have stated in last episodes, schedules. That's what it comes down to. And I did try to do a solo episode it was a Christmas Eve deal, and I didn't like how it turned out. So I will keep that in the archives. It was intended to be episode 51. And so there you have it. And also, I'm in a much sharper mind during the day. With the way my work schedule is, usually by the time we typically do, or at least in the past have done podcasts, I'm not sharp at all. And there's a lot of your mind goes blank because you're pretty much mentally spent. So we'll do a lot better now. Ponch and I were talking on the phone, and I was like, hey, man, we got a good thing going here. Let's just do a quick podcast. And we're here in 2020. We survived the holidays like they were that harsh. There's a lot of things that are going to start rolling out, and there's a lot of companies and things of the pop culture, culture that are really feeding on the 2020 year. It's a, new decade and everything. And that kind of thing, Ponch, it doesn't really register with me. I'm like, it's just another year. But I think it's important to acknowledge, 2020 is kind of a fresh start in a lot of ways, no matter what it is you're doing. And I think in regards to what this show is particularly, we discuss, I'm still waiting for my Snake Mountain. That never, that's pushed out to June now.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah, I ordered it. Well, I think I ordered it in April of 19. And they said, oh, yeah, by December. And then it turned into April. And now the last I heard was June. And so I'm glad that I did not tie up my coin, like I've said many times before. I ordered it through Big Bad Toy Store. But at any rate, we are moving forward. There's the Thundercats Ultimates that I am subbed on, and they just released the pre-order for Wave 2. And super stoked it, and I'm looking forward to that. It's wow, just the detail is amazing. And the accessories, they really dug deep into the cartoon series to bring some relics. Very exciting. Also with the Ninja Turtles stuff. I haven't seen Wave 2 yet, but Wave 1 was the pre-order. It's closed, but that's on its way. Again, wow. I mean, Super 7 is just killing it, with these designs. And they were making last-minute changes to Snake Mountain, the last update that they had with the test shots with the different colored plastics. So, really cool stuff. And we are, Star Wars Episode 9 is still in the theaters. I enjoyed the film very much. I'm not going to cut it to ribbons like I did 8, because I felt that within, like you and I were, Ponch, we were talking on the phone about this. It's a film that I believe that they came out of it with what they had to work with 8 and even 7. I think they capped it off pretty good. And I'm hoping that for the home release, there will be a lot of cut footage that will fill in some of the blanks. And that's kind of where we are right now in January of 2020. And, of course, The Mandalorian wrapped up, which is that pretty much outclasses anything that they could ever put in a theater right now. And I even said that, like, who needs movies when you have this? I put on my Twitter, I'm like, who needs Star Wars movies when you have the freaking Mandalorian? That's amazing. And I think streaming services, or at least for the near future, are going to be leading the pack. Not just Star Wars, but others. Like Star Trek's got their CBS network. That's going to be starting up here. Picard comes out the 24th, is it? I think.
Of this month?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So is it the 23rd or 24th? That should be interesting. And the other, now Marvel on Disney Plus has a bunch of good content coming out. Also, the crystal clear remastered original trilogy is on the Disney Plus, which is great. It's great. I can honestly tell you, man, you got all the different streaming services, but the Disney Plus thing, as far as like being able to watch pretty much all the like cartoons that they came out with, like Clone Wars and the Marvel stuff, having it all right there. I think unlike other streaming services, you're not going to have to worry about the licenses expiring and then pulling content down because they own all of it. Whereas, like, you got Netflix and all those guys, and bear with me, I know I'm bouncing around, but in my mind, it's all connected. But you've got, you know, The Mandalorian, you just keep watching over and over, it never gets old. My son, he'll just pull it up on the TV and be watching it, and I'm like, oh, okay. And can't say enough about that. I think that show is the greatest thing to happen to Star Wars since the original trilogy, easy. And I would go as far to say at least the special effects and the story writing and everything is movie quality, or, you know, it's just great. I mean, what they're able to do on a TV scale, to me, I think is on par with anything that they're doing in the movies right now. They slim down the special effects and focus on story, but when they do use the special effects, it doesn't look cheesy or blue screenish or anything. It looks fantastic. So, yeah.
What are your thoughts? I'm thinking that show too, man. So it's a fun show. I really like it.
Were you able to watch all of them so far?
Yeah. I finished the first season. So,
heck, you could have just downloaded it for free and watched them all, probably. That's what some people do. They just download it and they're like, well, I watched them all. I watched the whole season. No, I'm not going to, you know, I'm good for now or whatever. And, you know, they'll do that. I mean, it's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I will admit, I did download most of the episodes. But I think eventually I will get the Disney Plus because I've been getting a lot of like emails. I'm like, yeah, get Disney Plus with Hulu and, you know, ESPN.
Well, I think you can tie it to your phone. You can tie it to your phone subscription, like if you're a Verizon or whatever. Not just them, but I think they're actually pairing up with other companies.
Mm.
So you might want to look in that. Go down to your provider and for your phone and say, hey, is there anything with Disney Plus, a bundle or something? Or look it up yourself and school them. Because a lot of times you go to these phone places and they don't know what they're talking about, or they just don't care to dig in because it's just a job, you know.
Right.
I would ask you to do that if you really want it. I think you can get like a year for free in some cases.
Something like that, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I got a $3 a month plan is what I got.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have AT&T, so I don't know if they have anything with them, but I mean,
it's worth checking out. They're a huge carrier. Especially in like New York City and stuff, they're huge.
And I've read articles where like say if you have a Hulu Plus or like the Hulu account where it's no ads, I guess, what is that, Hulu Premium or whatever. There's a way of folding the Disney Plus and ESPN into that so that you still get like your standard Hulu without the ads, and you still get like everything else. I guess is lumped into the same package.
That's great. Yeah. Because so, I have like the max tier of Hulu. And I'm not bragging, I'm just stating a fact because we had a lot of commercials. And even when we paid for there's the free, then there's the next level, and he still had commercials. And I'm like, I just paid for I'm paying for this. Why should it be commercials? So then we went to the max, and then, you know, it's like, dude, I don't need to have four commercials in a row of Denver Mattress or Leg Day. I don't care. It's like some guy with a split teeth and a purple button-up shirt on. I don't give a crap. I say it because I have split teeth. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. it's like the same with, I was thinking of something too. But yeah, I agree. So eventually I will get Disney Plus. Is just I'm waiting out, waiting for the Marvel shows to come on just to see how they are, and I think also eventually they're gonna be full, like, I don't know if it has it on already, but they're supposed to be adding like all the Fox backlog onto Disney Plus too. So maybe at that point, maybe like there's just so much content, why not do it at that point? So
yeah, and I'd like, as a sidebar, I'd like to point out that Disney has made the Mandalorian soundtrack in its entirety. You can stream it on YouTube for free, so it's great for background if you're playing like video games or something. And like, my son likes the Old Republic Online. That's like perfect for that. We made a Mandalorian for him and stuff, and I went on the market there, and bought, the cartel market. I think it's funny they call it that. I went on there and got him a Mandalorian set of his choosing, and it's great. He's going through, and he's got the jetpack, and he's going through running the missions. It's like the perfect backdrop for it, you know.
That's cool.
So yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Like, digging it. It's a great time to be alive.
Yeah, but yeah, Mandalorian was an awesome show. I really liked it. I'm looking forward to the second season already.
Yeah, which is fall. Which typically would start in, what, September, right? Is it fiscal year month end, or is it October?
It's based on the moon and its current trajectory around Australia and stuff. Never mind.
Don't get technical on me, Ponch. I don't know what time when the dateline is in Christchurch, but I know it's not, you know. Wherever they go. Oh, jeez.
Right, that would fall somewhere.
Yeah, throw a green tomato at my face, you know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, going back to the Thundercats toys, I finally... Like, you're always talking about Big Bad Toy Store, and I finally went through them to get to the pre-orders. And, yeah, it was pretty effortless. Because I had, there's a Gundam kit that Bandai was selling, and I had meant to buy it, because it was, I didn't know it was, like, how limited, like, if it was a limited time sale or whatever.
Oh, sure.
And it was on for, like, you know, most of December and a little bit into January, last night or Friday night, I finally said, all right, I'm going to purchase it so I can buy it. And the main Bandai website, they already sold out at their initial run, because the purchase site was gone. So I was like, oh, crap. That's what I get for taking too long. But so I looked around to see what other stores may have it. And Big Bad was still taking pre-orders for it. So I was like, oh, you know what? Screw it. Let me try these guys out for once. And then I also saw they had the Thundercat pre-order, so I didn't get all of them. I don't think I really need to get all the figures, but I just got, I think I pre-ordered the Lion-O, the full, like fully transformed Mumra version, and then
It looks like it jumped right off the cartoons, huh?
Oh yeah, man.
That's an 8-inch figure, or it's like over 8 inches. It's not the other scale, so
super cool. And yeah. I got Panthro. And what's that? What's the girl Thundercat that has a skirt?
Chitara. Yeah. Or no, you're thinking of the...
No, not Chitara, no.
You're talking about the kids, right?
No.
Oh, crap. Like, the brown hair.
Yeah, and she has a brown skirt. I can't remember her name. Like,
poop on a stick, I don't remember. Isn't she one of the cousins?
I think so. Yeah, she didn't appear until like the later seasons of the cartoon.
Because there's the guy that looks like Tigra. But he's got blue and
white. Yeah, he's like white. Spots.
All right, folks, we're gonna pull this up.
Yeah, as you can tell, we're hardcore on point with our Thundercat information here.
We're gonna number get one there. Source. We're gonna get there.
Yeah, man, number one source.
That's right.
But
so we're gonna run through these pre-orders real quick. I don't want to go. I don't want this website. I want the actual. Man, I don't like website forums because they have a lot of inaccurate information, and it's people just making up stuff. I'm going right to the supplier. Let's see what we got. But yeah, they're the cousins. So in the cartoon series, for those who aren't familiar, I'd just like to preface this by saying that a lot of people that were like Masters fans, they liked Thundercats or they liked Transformers. And they are aware of Thundercats, but I knew a lot of people around here. I would ask them, hey, what were you watching in the 80s? Because it's Northwest, right? Oh, He-Man, yeah, absolutely. Like my brother-in-law, he had the Castle Grayskull. He had Point Dread. They'd get him all the figures. I mean, he was not messing around. He's my age. And, like, he goes, nah, Thundercats, we really didn't watch that. And there's a lot of guys around here in our age bracket that We didn't really. So I don't. I think there's a syndication issue there, and so a lot of people, they might be Masters fans, but they don't know a lot about Thundercats, and so they've got Wave 2 out. But let's see what we got.
Oh,
and I think she's in. She's in this lady you're talking about.
Yeah, Pumira, I think.
I was just saying it was like Pumira, but you're right. Yeah, because it just it hit me as you were saying it, and I was like, poop on a stick.
Hey, you're pretty close.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at my pre-order email. Yeah, Pumira, however you say your name, Lionel. I like how the Mumra is called Mumra the Ever Living.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Tupac and Panthro. So yeah, that's gonna be fun to receive that. So yeah, man. Yeah, Big Bad Toy Store seems cool so far. So see how it goes once the orders finally go through and they start shipping it. So,
And it's about right. It's about time for a quality set because I got the initial run of the Maddie Collector, and then they just put the kibosh on that. They may have lost the license for that.
Big Bad?
No, Mattel. I don't know. Because okay. I mean, it was an LJN property back in the '80s, and I'm not sure. I'm not saying they did lose it, but I'm not sure if they own that. I think they had a license and they allowed it to expire because now you got Super 7 coming out with these new waves, which are the same characters for Wave 1, but obviously with more accessories. And they never got to a Wave 2. So, you know, a lot of fans are rejoicing about this. And it's going to be great because you know that Super 7 is going to pretty much exceed anything Mattel does because it's already been proven. And I'm still waiting for my William Stout collection to show up. I guess it has shipped. And it's got the movie Skeletors in there, and then Dolph Lundgren, He-Man, and those. So that'll be nice. I don't know why they made another Karg. I don't need another Karg. They should have made Evil Inn or Beast Man or something. You know, those are the two villains left that they didn't make.
Ever. You know,
but anyway, that's a separate discussion.
Huh, interesting.
But I'm sure that there's going to be. I'm trying to remember. Do they do exclusives for like San Diego Comic Con? I think they would. It'd probably be some kind of a thing where it's got like a Wile E. Kit with 15 heads. It's a head pack for Wile E. Kit or something.
Yeah, right.
We're doing these. What are those stupid pins that are popular now with certain?
The thick pins.
What is the point of those things? Those
are dumb, man.
I'm like, geez, Louise, just throw them in a clearance bin.
Dude, so about that. Before I go off on that, I'll tell you after this. So I went to, GameStop?
Nice hat, by the way.
Thanks, man.
Nobody can see it, but it's pretty awesome. I like that logo. It's very nice.
Yeah, it's a run. I have a fitted hat on for the Mets, but
Did they just switch to that? Is that new?
No, this hat's old. Well,
no, the logo. How long ago? I've never seen that before. I'm not a sports guy.
They've always had Mr. Met. People listening, this is a Met hat I'm wearing, and normally you'd have like the typical orange, blue, whatever NY.
Yeah, the boring logo. Yes.
This one has a running Mr. Met on it, and just looks really cool. So
yeah, it's awesome.
But yeah,
that's my fault.
That's cool. So yeah, I went to GameStop. I don't know, sometime close to, either Christmas or New Year's, because I had during Black Friday that Black Friday week or the week leading up to Black Friday, I bought a Switch Lite.
Cool.
I liked a lot of the games that are on there are pretty cool. So I figured, you know what, screw it, let me just get it. And
yeah.
What I didn't know is that week they had a sale. Well, it wasn't a sale, but it was a promotion where you bought the Switch Lite during this week, and they gave you like a $25 like gift card. So I went back to GameStop and used that on a game that
I was sweet game
for free because of the gift card. But there's an area where they have all the the non-game stuff like the toys and the and that stuff. And there's like a small section of these thick pins, and it's basically like your standard enamel pins, but they differ in size. And they have like these gigantic ones where they're like 6-7 inches tall.
Like the Broly? Didn't they have a Broly one that was that big?
Yeah, they had a Broly one, a Thanos one, like different characters. But I'm thinking, who's going to be wearing these first off? Aren't they going to be like super heavy? And on top of that, like I know people like say from Comic-Con, they'll collect like the small standard pins and put them on like a jacket or whatever. You're only going to fit like what? A few fig pins, like the giant ones on your jacket, and then what are you going to do after that?
It's like the guy that watched Cats 400 times and had a Cats pin. He had like 400 pins on his jean jacket because he saw Cats at the Winter Garden Theater.
you know what's funny? Some of my coworkers got cracking about that, what was it, last week? Because I don't even know how it came up in conversation, but my coworker was like, do you guys remember that really overly acted Cats commercial in the 80s? Where like, yeah. You had that dude's like, Cats. Blah, 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 blah.
And they're on those floating platforms with all that dry ice coming out of it. It's like, I remember thinking like, yeah, that lady was sticking her butt in the camera and she had a tail on.
Yes, yes, yes.
She's wearing like a unitard.
Yeah, we got laughing at that, man, because it's just so ridiculous.
There's the real heavy set cat that was like the elder cat. He was like,
oh yeah, yeah, he's the elder because he's probably the one that they donate all the food to.
But yeah, he's not active anymore because he's retired, so he's put on some pounds.
I lead. I don't have to.
I lead
anymore.
Yeah.
So, what was I gonna say before? I don't remember. Oh. Going back to the Wile E. Kid thing you're talking about, I know with Bluefin, the company that makes the Dragon Ball Z figures I collect, sometimes they'll... So in the cartoon, when the characters power up, you see like this energy wave like forming around them, and they'll release... it's not really exclusive to Dragon Ball, but just any like character in whatever line that they make, that you know they have a similar type of like power-ups set up that you know like they do like as they would in Dragon Ball Z. But it's like it's a plastic like orb aura type of thing where you can surround your character in, you know, when you do dioramas. So it'd be kind of neat for say like the Wile E. Cat and Wile E. Kid, they had like a accessory set where it's like different explosion sets or like different
Cool.
Things you can set up in a diorama. That'd be pretty neat if they did something like that. Yeah, I think that would. Yeah, that's what I was interested in.
Well, do you think they're ever going to make a movie
for Thundercats?
Yeah.
Well, as long as it doesn't look like that stupid Cats movie they released recently. I mean, I would like to. It's just
a would you say of... like it was a fake trailer or something?
What, for Thundercats?
Well, there's no trailer for Thundercats, is there?
I don't think so.
What trailer are you talking about?
The Cats movie. You know, the movie adaptation to the Broadway show?
Oh, that piece of crap, yeah. Who cares?
That looks horrendous.
Yeah. And it should.
I mean, I don't know if you're into Sonic, you know, the video game character, but his movie's coming out soon.
Oh, they had to rework it. I know the story behind it. They didn't like the way it looked, and then they pulled it back and reworked it, yeah.
Yeah,
my son wants to see that.
I think it looks a lot like aesthetically, it looks way better than what they initially released. Because the initial release was he looked very creepy with the teeth and kind of looked furry-ish. But now they like you said they brought it back a little bit and it looks closer to like the anime. It's like features where he's got like exaggerated eyes and. You know, like the shoes and stuff. So
it's probably. I liked Sonic when I was in fifth grade, but I kind of moved on because I just whatever. You know,
I'm sure the movie's gonna suck, but at least they're doing a decent job with the way he looks.
It'll probably be on par with like the Pokemon stuff they did.
Well, I heard that movie's good.
I didn't sit and watch it, but my son and like you know my wife and my daughter all watched it and stuff, and it was. It looked pretty good, so, I think it'd be on par with production-wise, something like that, and my son likes Pokemon and everything, like Pokemon, he plays the cards, and it's funny, too, because, and I'm not gonna go on a Pokemon thing, but they have those at the Fred Meyer here. They've got this huge Pokemon dispenser unit, like a huge. It's all lit up with like Pokeballs and design, and it's got lights on. It's like you're in Japan or something, man, where they got like those huge vending machines with all the different things, like because you know, like Japan and stuff. Like at least in the more urban areas, they've got all, everything's like vending machines and stuff. I want to, man. We need to make a trip over there for the podcast.
The Gachapons.
Yeah, we need to go over there and check that out, dude.
That's cool. Actually, I remember a small handful of vendors at Comic-Con over the years. They would have like a small little wall at their booth, you know, of like different like Gachapon style vending machines, and I think they're about like $1 or $2. You just pop your quarters in, and you know, you get like the little cool little toys and stuff. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, man, we gotta get over there, man. We gotta have that as like a one of those one shot things, you know.
Man, that I would love to go to Japan. That'd be so freaking cool.
I can just freaking meet you. I fly off the West Coast, or you fly out of New York. You're set, man. You know, you piece of cake.
Ugh, man, there's so much I would love to do over there. And yeah, there's like a bunch, well, not a bunch, but a few YouTube channels that I watch where you'll have some like Westerners that live in Japan. So it's kind of, you're getting like the perspective of Japan from, you know, somebody who wasn't born there. So
yeah.
It's a unique perspective. But they, you know, of course, since they live there, they're not focused on just all the touristy type stuff. They focus on a lot of like the
culture, the native culture,
right? Yeah, like more like the local type eateries or hangout spots or parks, or a lot of them like to feature the transit system there because they have like the, you know, the bullet trains and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty neat too.
Yeah, it'd be awesome to go on one of those things.
Oh man, so cool! And apparently, to travel, like, say if you're on like the southernmost part of the island and you want to travel like to, like, say to Japan or Tokyo or Kyoto or whatever other city, commute, like if you take like a commuter bus, it's absurdly cheap, and you could even fly from city to city and it's like super super cheap too. Like they encourage people to use the like the different types of transit that they have to travel, and it's like super cheap.
People are like, well, it's expensive to get there, but once you get there, I think it pays for itself because mm-hmm. it's even to eat out and stuff is cheap. It's like,
oh man,
what are those things called where you sit in that thing? It's on a belt. It comes
back. Oh, the conveyor belts. Oh, the sushi. Yeah.
No, but what's the name of the restaurant? There's a special name for it.
I don't remember. I know what you're talking about.
It's funny because it zooms by you really fast or something. Oh man, it's some funny stuff. I'd love to try that out. I don't know what half the food is, but I'd like to try it out, you know?
Yeah, there's, I believe this type of food is called okonomiyaki, I think. Basically what it is, it starts off as a pancake, and I believe the translation of the word is make it as you like, or something like that. So basically, it's a pancake, and they just pile stuff on top of stuff. On top of stuff on it.
Like, I'll take some of that. It's an edible plate, if you will.
Exactly, yeah. And they like... Yeah. It's kind of like hibachi in the way where they cook it in front of you, and you don't even have, it doesn't even have to be plated. You can eat it straight off the grill as it's like staying warm. And this type of stuff they put on it is insane. Like I've seen like breakfast type stuff where they put an egg on it with like, you know, breakfast meats, or there's other ones where they'll
bring
put like
sweatpants. Oh, well, you know, so I really want to stay in a Japanese, I want to stay in one of those, like, pods, one of those Japanese-style hotel pods, because I'm, you know, there's advantages to being 5'8", you know,
yeah.
And I'm, like, the perfect height, I'm not short, I'm not tall, so it's awesome, you know, and, yeah, that's one thing I really want to do is sleep in one of those little pods, because I'm not claustrophobic, I like being in tight spaces, you know. So I think it's cool.
Yeah, there was I can't remember the channel I was watching, but this channel, the guy doesn't live in Japan, but he went on vacation with his wife there, and he was talking about his experience of like, well, even like the ticket purchase to fly out there, I guess him and his wife bought the flight tickets about at least half a year in advance. By doing that, the tickets end up being like way more affordable than, say, even like 2 months before.
But, well, it's like that in the States for just domestic flights. Not anymore. It's crap.
No. Oh, yeah, no, totally. So there's that. And then he was going over like those tiny cube hotels or whatever. And I think they're like some of them can be as cheap as like $10 a night.
Oh, man, it's so cheap. Cool.
Yeah.
Like the Big Show stayed in one of those. Did you ever hear that story?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, the Giants stayed in one, and he was on, I think he was on, like, it was either Steve Austin's podcast or it was Chris Jericho's, and he's like, I think something to the effect, you guys have to look it up, but it was pretty funny. I can only imagine his feet sticking out of it or something or whatever.
They probably have to open two up just to accommodate him.
Yeah, get out a freaking tiger saw and cut a hole through the ceiling to be, you know. Can I reserve these two rooms and I kick someone out of the one above you or something?
Oh, man. Yeah, what's really neat, too, and I've seen this from, like, different, like, channels that I watch on YouTube. They're, like, Uber,
if like, you will.
Yeah, exactly. They're very, very considerate of, like, each other's spaces, so to the point where in hotels, it seems like it's almost mandatory that everybody has to be quiet to, you know, just to be considerate of like people around you, whether they're sleeping or not.
And no farting, because that would be dangerous. In places.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that too? Some toilets, they'll have like a button where you can play background music just to cover up your farts. It's such a taboo thing. It's like it's embarrassing knowing that like you're walking by a toilet and you hear some tunage going on, and then all of a sudden somebody walks out and is like, yep, you did that. So they'll have, like, background music you could play to cover up the sound so it's not as embarrassing when you step out of the restroom.
It's adding bass to the overall. Ransomed to the low end, yeah.
It's like natural whale sounds. Yeah, the whales are right. Oh. Yeah, that's a pot of whales swimming by. Or dolphins or whatever.
Well, I ate at ate one of those pancake breakfasts. I can't help it. What? Whatever that thing was in the belt, you're come back on the breakfast meats, would you? Bacon and eggs!
Got the meat sweats eating the sausage.
Get the towel off, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was a video on YouTube about like traveling into Japan. The guy did it on a budget, and it was like, it wasn't like, usually think like on a budget, you're going to be like flying on standby and not getting a discount and like, not eating anything, and like, I got these Alberto beef sticks. That's good enough. No dinner, you know. It wasn't like that at all. It was like, yeah, it's just because the stuff is so cheap there. There's alternatives for that. And I think it's cool. And I like the culture a lot, particularly the more commercial side, because it makes it easy, like you said, to go have a good time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it seems to me, I've never been there, but like, that place is so, it's a good mix of experience-based, you know, like, attractions and also stuff to bring back with you, you know, because they got, like video games from, like, Super Famicom and stuff that have never made in the States, and that's the thing, like, being in the U.S., it's like, number one, if you go somewhere you haven't been before, or maybe you visit once in a while, the stores, they have stuff that you can get anywhere, and it's not, like, special, you know. And, like, when we were kids and stuff, because the internet wasn't really around, when we were, like, 13, 14 years old, it was, like, you could go to, like, maybe go to, like, a Syracuse or an Albany or or Canada or wherever, and you could find stuff you couldn't find at home because there was no globalization really, and you know, so it was special. And you know, it's like when I go to Seattle and stuff, now it's turned into, because of the online presence is so big with Amazon and stuff, it's like there's nothing special about going to some of these places anymore. We're like, I can get that at home. Everything I see here, I can get at home. It's not special. If you're a collector or a connoisseur of music or whatever, movies or, you know, books. And it's like, now if you go to like another country, they've got import versions of stuff that you can't get around here. They have like extra tracks or, you know, alternate cuts of whatever. And that's one thing I really like to do. And like, I had a friend of mine I used to work with way back. He went to Mexico for like a vacation with his family because that's where he was from. And he brought back hand-carved replicas of like guitars. They're like miniatures.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, they're like, I don't know what scale they are, but like I've got, like my brother got me an Ace Frehley Les Paul for Christmas one year. I still have that. It's up on my bookshelf. And it was that size, like a mini Les Paul. So it'd probably be like a 6-inch tall guitar. Well, this guy carved them out of wood.
Wow.
And he brought back like 7 or 8 of them, man. They're really cool. And I've always hung on to those because it was like, I didn't ask for that. And he did it, you know, because he knows I like guitars and stuff. And that kind of stuff, you can't get anywhere. It's handmade. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like a street vendor guy. Like, he was sitting on a bench and he carved all these. They look amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's some. That's what I appreciate and I really like about like stuff in Japan, or just like, to me at least, the culture in general. Well, my take on it is that it seems like there's a lot of care and thought into whatever it is that they, you know, whether it's what they make or how they perform, or just, you know, like we were talking about before, the capsule hotels, like the amount of like courtesy they have for like the patrons there. It just seems like everything has been given thought. It's not, there's nothing wasted. You know, it's not like it doesn't seem arbitrary to me, at least either. It's just like, you know, like, yeah, like it just seems like they really care about what it is that they're doing. And like the perfect example is like restaurants. I've heard that restaurants over there, you're not allowed to give tip because good service should be expected automatically.
Right.
And the way you show your appreciation is by finishing up all your food.
Yeah, because they went to the trouble of making it.
Right. So, yeah, just that alone, like the fact that aspect as far as like food, you know, like going, having like a eating experience, that getting good service is expected of you know, people that work there. And I, from what I've heard, if you do try to give tips, it's almost insulting because it's almost like, say you're in a restaurant, we have like two servers. One server sees that the other one's getting tip and they start thinking, well, is our service not good enough? Why are you giving us more, you know, more money? Or something along the lines of that. But yeah, it's just that, to me, like that just kind of seems pretty neat how you have an entire culture built up of, you know, like wanting to give exceptional service because it's expected. Kind of neat. But yeah, it just seems like things seem cooler over there. Like you have like coffee shops where you can go up to a bookshelf and take a manga and just read there while you're relaxing, having your drink. Or, you know, you have you know, there's areas where you, like I think the city's Akihabara, where it's like known for its tech stuff. And there's like not clubs, but like late night hangout spots where it's all like retro game themed. So you can go in there and buy food or whatever. And they have like Super Famicom set up on TVs where you can just choose the game you want to play. You just play them right there while you're hanging out and stuff. What was that?
That was my son. They just got back home. Dirty, like that. Pounding on the front door.
Oh, I see his shadow.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. But anyway, yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of cool stuff to do, you know, visiting there. I'd like to get there someday. There's so many other places I'd rather go. Or not rather go, but I'm going to go. Like one of them's like, we need to do, like, on, like, in-person podcast.
That'd be awesome.
DCC, yeah, that'd be great. If I could manage to get some passes for, like, New York Toy Fair, that'd be kind of neat. But I think SDCC would be the one to go to. But then also go down to the Star Wars experiences that they put in with the Falcon and everything, and maybe do something down there. That'd be a lot of fun.
As far as Toy Fair goes, it's not open to the public. It's not like, you know,
comic. Right, I'm saying if I could get a pass to get in there, like one of those special, like, manufacturer passes or whatever. Or I guess it'd be a press pass, just like anything else, but...
Man, that'd be so... I've always wanted to go to Toy Fair, man. You know. Yeah.
I'd like to get to the NAMM. The NAMM show would be cool, too, in California. That'd be super easy. I've got a friend who's he's an endorsee. He's flying down there on the 14th, so... he does product demos down there and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. He's a Yamaha guy, so he does guitars and amps, which is cool.
Hi.
Hi.
Are you recording?
Yes.
Sorry.
Hello.
Oh, we're almost done.
Okay.
And I didn't tell her I was going to be doing this.
Oh,
but yeah, we'll wrap this up here pretty quick because it's almost in an hour, but... No, I mean, that's really neat, and I think that I need to go back and to get back to Thundercats. That formally is the subject of this show, but it's all kind of connected, folks, and especially with, like, Japan and stuff, because it was, like, the animation was done overseas, right? It was Pacific Animation Corporation did the art, right? Weren't they based in Japan? It definitely has more of an anime style to it. It's not like it's much different than the Master of the Universe stuff, because that in and of itself was amazing with the cells and the style of animation, especially when Bravestar came around. It was that new type of animation. The colors were vibrant and just amazing.
Yeah. I'm not sure about, you know, where the animation was done, but it does take a lot.
That,
like
the credits said that it was a Pacific animation or whatever.
But it does take a lot of like anime aesthetics, like, you know, the kinetic energy of, like, you know, fast movement, like you said, the bright colors, you know, and then like the quality of the animation, especially like the opening theme, scroll, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. It was Japanese.
No, it's so freaking great, man.
Yeah. I just looked it up. They were in business from 85 to 89. Headquarters was in Tokyo. So.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so good. For me, I think that's probably like the best like opening cartoon scroll ever, man.
And that's funny. Disney acquired it.
Really?
It says PAC closed down in 1989 when Walt Disney bought it to form, quote, Walt Disney Animation Japan.
Oh, boy.
Jeez Louise. Wow, that's a long time ago, too.
Are they still in existence, or...?
Under well, I mean, they're owned. I mean, you could say that, but I don't know how active they could. I'd have to dig even further. But and it has all the main characters of Thundercats. So Groon, he's a snaggletooth looking guy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It looks like he's wearing like a do-rag. Yeah. Wile E. Kit, obviously. Bengali was the other cousin, the white and black and blue outfit.
If I had to worry about the Super 7 Thundercat toy line is like, I wonder how long it'll take for them to, like, make figures of the characters. Because, obviously, there's not as many characters.
A while.
As there is in like, He-Man.
Well, because, right, and the thing is, like, previous to this, you had the Bandai stuff, which was okay. They're not bad toys. They're retail fodder. I mean, they went on clearance, you know. And they tried to do those Thundercats classics, which were okay. They weren't too bad. I've got them sitting up on my shelf here. But the cartoon series was pretty good, and then they cut it short and had a bunch of real smokescreen reasons for why they cut it short, because it was doing very well. And I think one of the reasons they said it was because we wanted to, I guess the second season or something like that wasn't available to UK fans or something like that, but whatever. So that got an abrupt stop. But, I mean, these ones, you know they're going to be good. So.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not retail stuff. This is, like, online only. And so, I'm very confident Because like the master stuff that they did was like on was top notch, but usually it's about a year in advance. I know Mattel, they said it was a year in advance that they put in the SKUs or the tooling or whatever. They tell the factories what they want to do, and then they start working out the logistics and timelines from there. But what I can tell you is that it seems to be amorphous, because like they keep shifting the end dates out for us getting our stuff, and there's a lot of logistical problems and things like that. And it's funny, my brother and I were talking about that on the phone, about the logistics or something like that. And he had some funny stuff. He's like, someone said like, well, it's a logistical problem, or they got, or something like that. Everything was a logistical excuse or something like that. So,
See,
yeah,
that's what I wish, like, companies would
It was Zack Ryder. That's who it was. We were talking about Zack Ryder. You know, Zack Ryder collects a lot of action figures. They had a podcast. He was on Conrad Thompson's show, and they always talk about it was a logistical problem. It's like a running joke. That's what it was.
Yeah, it's like Zack Ryder, Matt Cordova, whatever. I've seen a lot of their YouTube stuff. It's good stuff, man. When they go like figure hunting,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, I gotta go catch up on those. There's just not enough time in the day, you know.
Yeah, man, I hear that.
I'm building a kit, for crying out loud. It's and I'm writing an album, so it's like I'm busy when I'm not at work. And, you know, oh, and I'll send you that riff, by the way. I wrote a riff.
Do you have a name for it?
Well, I do. I don't know if I can use it, though. Legally, I don't know if I can use it. It's Black Adam's home country. Is it Kandak or Kandak or whatever it's called? It sounds very Egyptian, so it's pretty good. But I use the 8-string on that because it's got the active pickups, and it's perfect for like metal.
Very cool.
Anyway, yeah. So that I'll send you the riff on that. I'll Dropbox it to you because I recorded it on my phone because I didn't want the riff to get away from me, because that's how it is. If you don't catch it, it's gone forever. So I just recorded it on my phone, put it next to the amp, and let it rip. I know you'll dig it. I know you'll dig it. So. But yeah, a lot of new music coming soon. So, and some of that music will be used on the show, which is cool. That's about all I have. Ponch, you got anything else?
For now, if I keep on talking, this won't be just an hour podcast. It'll probably be longer. So I'll save it for later.
Yeah, jot it down. All right, folks, that's going to do it. And check out Element Surprise. Check out Fireside Chat. Check out the Exhaust Podcast. Hope this finds you well, so check them out. They're all great shows. Catch you guys next time.
See ya.